Welcome to the Speaking of Women's Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Holly Thacker, the director of National Speaking of Women's Health, and I'm back in the Sunflower House for another edition of this podcast. And ladies and men, even too, you're going to be excited because we are going to talk all things skin and skincare. So our guest today is Amanda Kanan, and she's an esthetician at the Cleveland Clinic, main campus, and Avon, which is one of our Western branches. And she received her advanced esthetician license in 2015 from the Brown Aveda Institute in Rocky River, Ohio. She also has an aesthetics instructor license, which really encapsulates her passion for product knowledge and education about skin care. And through her many years of education, she has provided services for a wide range of skin types and skin concerns. And her goal is to educate and help her patients achieve flawless skin. And for those of you listening on Rumble, and you can go to Speaking of Women's Health on Rumble, you can see how beautiful and flawless her skin is.
Oh, thank you.
And so she does this through education, through advanced treatments, as well as customized regimens. So we'll get into all of that. Welcome, Amanda.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So it's a pleasure. I understand you have a sweet 2.5-year-old daughter who is already into the skincare regimen and beauty routine. Is that right?
She is. She is. She will sit there and pretend to put on mommy's makeup. So, and she's good at it. She's good at it. So.
I think it's fun. Lori Scarso, who's one of your colleagues, who we had on in season one last year in 2023. And if our listeners haven't heard that interview on skincare, that's a great one to go listen to. She was telling me something about how your daughter was knowing, already had a dab and pat or something.
Yes. Yes. She knows when to dab or pat and where the blush goes, where the bronzer goes. So it's fun watching it.
Oh, that's lovely. I have two granddaughters. So after being the mother of three boys, it's kind of fun.
Oh, you're having so much fun. Yes.
For that girly stuff. So what made you get interested in this field? And tell us, what does it take to become an esthetician?
I had an interest early on when I noticed my skin starting to change. So I had cystic acne. I was dealing with all of that. And I just, you know, took an interest in kind of helping myself heal my skin. And so I was able to do so through research, through the right ingredients, through the right products. And I wanted to offer that for others. You know, I think it's important because I can sympathize and empathize with my patients, you know, being that I have been there before with different skin concerns. So, and I went through a aesthetics program, a 7-month program, and, you know, started practicing. And then after that, I went back again to get my instructor's license because I also had a passion for teaching it, because when you teach something, you almost learn something new each time. So, here I am.
That is true. That is true. So would you encourage this as a potential career path for people interested in skin health?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great career path. You learn a lot. It is ever evolving and there is a lot to learn, but it's fun. It's fun at the same time.
That is great. And the skin is the largest organ. And certainly there's so many common conditions from acne to dry skin to eczema to acne, all sorts of problems that can affect our skin. So I know that a lot of our midlife women, you know, as part of our quest, which is our mission on this nonprofit, Speaking of Women's Health, to be strong and be healthy and be in charge, really want to look their best. So what do you recommend when you first see a midlife woman who comes to you with her aging skin concerns?
The first thing I would recommend is, of course, I would ask them if they have some type of retinoid in their skincare regimen. And that could be a retinol, that could be more of a prescription Retin-A, tretinoin, something that's going to constantly give their skin that exfoliation. Therefore, that new skin can come through and lessen the looks of fine lines, wrinkles. Some may even deal with hyperpigmentation with their hormones fluctuating, so adult acne. And I really feel that, you know, Retin-A, retinols, they're the holy grail of skincare and they work. And so I really like to put my patients on those products and make sure that they have them in their routine.
Well, I am so old that,
no,
no, I am no. that when Retin-A came out for acne, I was started on it because I had terrible time with acne, which I think, and so did my sons actually. And that's how I got involved and, got to know so many of the great care skincare estheticians at the clinic, because I brought my sons in for you know, acne treatments, for peels, for the light, for some of them needed antibiotics. My one son had to go on Accutane,
yeah,
a couple courses. And mm-hmm. and now my niece, who's so beautiful, but is dealing with acne and needs topical treatments as well as systemic treatments. It can really be a significant problem. But anyway, when Retin-A was first out,
yes,
it wasn't for anti-aging. It was just for acne. So in retrospect, when I look back, I'm like, oh, it's good that I was on that for so long.
Yes, absolutely. It has some great benefits. And, you know, you kind of have to get past that initial 3-month mark mm-hmm. to really see the change. But if you push through, you will have completely different skin. Mm. So.
And isn't one yeah. of the Retin-A products Differin, which used to be a prescription, isn't that now over the counter? I think it is.
The lower percentage is over the counter. There are retinols over the counter because they are not as strong as Retin-A. You know, they've been converted into a more diluted version and they still work, but they're just, you know, not as strong as Retin-A, which is good for anyone who has sensitive skin. It's good for someone starting out to try an over-the-counter retinol first before potentially going to a prescription.
I've noticed
but there's a lot of things at our fingertips these days.
Yeah, so much more than there used to be. That's for sure. You know, I just remember only having Noxzema yes. cream and that was it. So I've just noticed as I've gotten older, my skin is drier, not quite as oily, which of course goes along. As you get older, you have less adrenal gland production of some of the hormones that can irritate the skin and cause increased oil and acne. And one of the people in your team recommended that I get Alpha Ret, which is, I guess, Retin-A. And
yes.
Is it another topical like glycolic acid?
And alpha hydroxy acid.
Alpha hydroxy.
So initially, it's a glycolic. Yes, it's a glycolic with a retinol.
Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed using that.
I love that product.
That's
good.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Good.
So
I love that
one. So Retin-A is your like go-to, some sort of retinoid, and obviously a great skincare yes. routine as well, right?
Of course.
So what else is part of the whole package and routine?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or go search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
A lot of the times, believe it or not, your at-home regimen can be more important than coming in for the treatments. Coming in for the treatments is important, but the maintenance you do at home to extend that longevity of what we're doing in office. So vitamin C, I would say, is a top for for everything. That's AM, whereas your retinols would be PM. But vitamin C is good. Those antioxidants, they help fight free radicals. And a lot of them even will help with blue light. As you know, we're constantly on our phones, computer screens, iPads. So vitamin C helps with that. And it's actually brightening. It's not always marketed that way, but vitamin C can help with brightening, pigmentation, smoothing out texture, and it makes your skin feel great. You don't have any harsh effects from it.
And so you think it's important to do it topically as well as ingest it systemically? Of course, we always recommend, you know, healthy diet and superfoods and a colorful diet.
Oh, of course. Yes. Both. Because as you know, what happens in your gut, first place it shows is your skin. Mm-hmm. So having a good diet, you know, especially stuff like dairy or sugar can, you know, for somebody who has rosacea prone skin or acne prone skin, you know, too much of it can cause flare up. So everything in moderation, colorful diet, fruits and vegetables, but of course topically as well, really helps the skin. And it works great with a sunscreen. So that's my next one, is SPF is very important. Mm-hmm.
I've done a podcast specifically on sunscreens. In fact, years ago, we in America didn't have access to the Anthelios that blocks UVA and UVB light. And I had heard that some of the dermatologists, when they would go to Europe, would pick it up. And I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me about that? Yeah. This is somebody, you know, prone to sunburn, someone who's had melasma during pregnancy, which of course UV light makes worse. I mean, other than of course physical, wearing hats and umbrellas, and you still need to use the sunscreen. So do you have any tips about what the best sunscreen is, depending on whether it's your face, your arms, your type of skin type?
We love here at the clinic, we love mineral and physical SPFs. And what I mean when I say about that is something where the UV is going to bounce off your skin, as opposed to a chemical sunscreen is still good, but it can be absorbed into your skin for a quick second and then spit back out. And for some people, they can't handle that little bit of absorption. Mm. So a mineral SPF is good, especially if you come in for any invasive treatments, whether it be chemical peels or microneedling, you know, your skin barrier is compromised. Mm-hmm. And I think a mineral SPF is the best way to help heal the skin and protect it from any further damage.
And so certainly obviously for children and also for reproductive aged women, pregnant or breastfeeding, I would think that you would want the mineral based, which is primarily zinc, correct?
Absolutely. I have my daughter on a mineral-based SPF, and of course, anyone who's pregnant, you know, there's certain ingredients you have to stay away from, especially breastfeeding, all that. So we always go towards a zinc-based mineral SPF. Mm-hmm. And some of them are tinted and they give good coverage too while they're
right,
at it.
Right. I've gotten some samples that have the tinted in it, and it's kind of nice because then you can it makes the beauty routine faster. Yeah. Although I thought you don't get complete protection of both levels of UVA and B depending with just the zinc mineral ones. So, but certainly if you have any kind of invasive, you know, procedures or anything where you might be breaking that skin barrier, you don't want to be absorbing any of these chemicals. That's for sure. What would you say for women pregnant or trying to become pregnant who are using retinoids? Do they need to stop that or just the prescription strength ones?
They do. It is recommended. Any physician will tell you that, you know, no retinoids, even no acids, whether it be salicylic, glycolic. Yes. Mm. Yes. So all that has to be discontinued, and it has to be discontinued too for as long as they choose to breastfeed as well, because we don't know how much absorption is going into the bloodstream. So it is best to discontinue all of that, find something a little bit more easy and light, and kind of proceed again once you're all done with that chapter. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, pregnancy has such high estrogen levels, and estrogen is great for the skin, great for the collagen, great for hair.
So I had my best skin while pregnant. So
yeah, that's what so right. many women say. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. So where would you put hyaluronic acid on your, like, you know, pyramid for anti-aging? Or is that just for moisturization or for fine wrinkles? Or
no, hyaluronic acid is good for anti-aging. It's especially good for hydration, but it does have anti-aging effects. So the way we like to describe it is the hyaluronic acid is the water in a water bottle, all that hydration, all that weight, and then the moisturizer is the lid on top to lock everything in place. But the hyaluronic acid is actually what's giving you that hydration and replenishing your skin. Mm-hmm. So it's important. And of course, if you are on a Retin-A or a retinol, you know, it helps kind of break up those adverse effects that somebody may have, like the dryness, the irritation. It will definitely lessen the discomfort.
We used topical hyaluronic acid in post-menopausal women who have a lot of vaginal dryness. I mean, hormones certainly will improve that in some non-hormone mm-hmm. regimens, but there's actually a lubricant that helps the vagina and helps improve the moisture and even the integrity. And it's a hyaluronic based product. And I think some lipsticks yes. are coming out with it too to help plump the yes. lips.
Yes. Our body creates its own hyaluronic acid, but of course, as we age, that tends to diminish on its own. So in any way that we can replenish it all over the body is so helpful.
And what about peptides? What's the role of some topical peptides in terms of anti-aging?
They help strengthen and help rebuild that collagen and elastin. So peptides are very good, and they're not harsh. You know, they're not like acids at all, but they help and aid in that rebuilding of collagen and elastin. There's a lot of peptides in growth factors, which, you know, growth factors are good too, because it's almost reversing the signs of aging. So we love peptides very much, and ceramides and all that for good supple skin. Mm.
And so certain things like ultraviolet light and of course cigarette smoking, any kind of nicotine is very bad on elastin in the skin. And certainly smokers tend to look so much older inside and out and have yes. a much higher yes. risk of disease. So you have great yes. lips. What is your lip routine?
My lip routine is lip liner.
Okay.
A lot of lip liner and gloss. I try to stay away from the matte lipsticks, even though I love them, but I always do a gloss. So I, you know, that's my go-to.
Looks absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
So how often should a woman exfoliate her skin, specifically her face?
It varies with different skin type, but usually we say once to two times a week. Mm-hmm. We do. And you can exfoliate your skin every day gently, and that's usually via your cleanser. We have some, you know, exfoliating cleansers or exfoliating toners. You can use those every day, once a day. But a real good exfoliation, we say once a week, twice a week if you are, you know, more oily and you're secreting a lot of oil and dirt and debris and all that, but one to two times a mm-hmm. week, I would say.
Well, you are listening to the Speaking of Women's Health podcast, and I am your host, Dr. Holly Thacker, and we are with skincare esthetician Amanda, mm-hmm. and she is just giving us so many fabulous tips. The ladies at the Center for Specialized Women's Health, I practice in the same building you do on although I know you're also in the region, they got me this great spa package for the holidays. They were really so generous. So I just went there and had like the total body exfoliation. And I was thinking, well, obviously you do this a lot less often than you do your face, and the skin is different. And obviously it seems like the skin on the face and the forearms and the neck and the décolleté area seem to show aging yeah. so much more than other parts of the skin. And I just wondered if you had any comments about that, how much of it's sun exposure, how much of it's movement, how much of it's just different type of skin.
Yes. And it also, you know, whatever we do to our face, I always recommend we take it down to the neck, to the décolleté, and the back of the hands. I do. And a lot of people, and I'm guilty of it too, before I got in this industry, we were just focusing right here on the face. But it really, you will see a huge change if you do bring down your products all the way down to the décolleté and the back of the hands. Especially if you're driving, make sure you, you know, throw on some sunscreen on the back of your hands. We do have products, you know, neck creams, all that, that help tighten. When I do a chemical peel, let's say, I do take it all the way down to the neck as well. The neck is very vascular, as you know, so it will, you will feel it, but it's quick to heal itself just like the face. Mm.
It seems like sometimes it's a lot more sensitive, but then other times it seems like it's more resistant to irritating substances, for instance, like I'm more sensitive to retinoids on the face, but not as much on the neck. I just thought that was kind of curious.
It is. It's very common. You know, I have patients who can only do one pass of a chemical peel on their neck, but they can do all three on their face or vice versa. So, yeah, it all comes down to skin type.
And so what are the skin types? And also, what are the types of skin peels you do offer?
We offer a great range, different levels, of course. You have some more superficial that just give you a nice exfoliation, a nice glow, not a lot of downtime. And then we have one called the Perfect Peel. Mm. And that is the best one where you will shed like a snake, you know, so you will need to set aside some downtime. But the skin that will come through is beautiful, untouched baby skin, healthy, and it's worth it at least twice a year.
Oh, I haven't done that. It's been years since I did one with a peel with the
we have to get you in.
I guess I'll have to plan it. How many days do I need for downtime? At least what, two or three or four?
We say about a week, actually. So the peeling starts around your mouth and then it just works its way out, and it's kind of cool. And it ends up in people's hairline too. Their hairline starts to peel. Not that we put it there, but, you know, it absorbs all over the face.
Wow. Wow. I don't know if I'm going to be brave enough to do it. When I had peels before, which they didn't call it the Perfect Peel because, you know, I had a lot of acne issues. It just seemed like whenever my skin got so tight and started peeling, I got so irritable and I was just, you know, snapping at people.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way when you have the Perfect Peel?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Really?
It does get really, really tight at first and then it makes its way and it peels off. But it comes with a little kit. So, you know, there is a little bit of cortisone in the kit if you are feeling that irritation, because the last thing we want is our patients taking their skin and peeling it off themselves.
Right.
That
a
is
big no-no.
A big no-no.
And yes. Isn't there some plant-based product that I've heard patients say that is recommended to reduce bruising when people have any type of procedure that might predispose them to that?
There is, yes, we have the Revox Line Relaxer. It has arnica in
arnica.
It. That's by Revision.
Arnica, yes. I've had patients talk to me about arnica. So tell us what that is. Is that an herb or what does arnica do?
It is an ingredient. It's an all-natural ingredient. Mm-hmm. And it just acts almost like a topical Advil. So it takes away inflammation. It lessens bruising because you never know how your skin is going to react with injectables or with microneedling or laser. You know, it always varies. So having that on hand will help lessen the bruising and the trauma to the skin and accelerate healing for sure.
So do you use that with your different peels, like the Perfect Peel?
We do. Mm. We do.
And then what about with your lighter peels? Like I think I've gone in for, is it aluminizing? Is that one of the ones that you offer?
Yes.
Yes.
The aluminizing.
That's an easy one because there's no downtime. Like if you have to go to an event.
Yeah, no downtime.
The next day or so. Is there any season? Like do you recommend it between seasons or like not in the middle of the summer because the sun is so strong or does it really matter?
It does. We are now currently in what we like to call peel season. So it's usually from October until February. And then once you get into spring and summer, people tend to draw back because your skin becomes more photosensitive for sure. I mean, even leaving here after a chemical peel and driving home, if the sun is out, you know, in the heat, and it's just going to be a very uncomfortable drive for the patient. Hmm.
And is there any other peels in between just the very light one, like aluminizing, and the perfect one, perfect peel?
Yes. Yes. We have your traditional glycolic peels for anti-aging. We have traditional salicylic for teen acne or adult acne. Mm-hmm. We have a rejuvenized peel and a vitalize, which are a little deeper than aluminized. So you will get some peeling with those. So those are in the middle. And then, you know, the perfect peel all the way at the end.
Maybe I'll just go for the middle one next time and see if I can work myself up.
Yes.
What about back?
And I did the middle one. I got great results. Oh,
I think that's what I'll sign up for with you. Mm-hmm. So what about back peels? Yes. I was just looking at my youngest son, and he was the one that had terrible acne. He had to have two courses of Accutane, had a lot of topical treatments. His face is great looking, but his whole entire back is back knee. Do you do back peels or is that something that they really should see a dermatologist for systemic treatment?
No, we do. We do anything we do on the face, we can do on the back. Of course, I would recommend having them see a dermatologist depending on how severe it can be, because systemic sometimes topicals will work, but if it's something more deep-rooted, it needs a doctor, a physician, but we can definitely do back facials, back chemical peels. I've done extractions on someone's back because they can become so painful, it's hard for them to really sit in a chair. So yes, a mix of all is what we recommend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ended up getting a sebaceous cyst that got infected when he was in college, and he had to go to a dermatologist and get it injected and then drained, and then it flared up again. And he just recently actually had a surgery to excise the whole thing. And I'm sure it's all related to acne. So acne can be a really serious, you know, a serious medical problem. It's not just for just cosmesis. That is for sure.
Absolutely. It can be. It can be very deep-rooted. It can be chronic and painful. So it's good to have an esthetician, but also be under the care of a physician well with something that is that severe.
I've often said that women kind of have it a little bit easier because they have more treatment options, in that hormonal contraception, whether someone needs contraception or not, is excellent for the skin. I have a lot of the dermatologists refer patients to me for androgenic hair thinning or acne, or they want prescription, either menopausal hormone therapy or hormonal contraception, simply to treat an underlying skin condition. And of course, males don't have that option. Yeah. Yeah. So,
they don't, other than Accutane, they really don't.
Yeah. So, they really need to know everything topical, as well as when antibiotics are needed. So acne rosacea is not the same as just standard acne. And I see a lot of women with acne rosacea. I did a previous podcast on rosacea based on, you know, information from dermatologists. From the skincare esthetician's standpoint, are there any peels you recommend? Do you recommend just treatment with a dermatologist? I've had one of our nurses went and had laser, and she said that cured her. She was really happy about that.
Yes, yes. I would have them first meet with a dermatologist for sure. We do have one peel. It's called the mandelic peel. It is geared more towards redness-prone skin, rosacea-prone skin. And I know sometimes when you hear the word peel, you automatically assume that it's going to be this horrific, painful, crazy peeling experience. Mm-hmm. And that's not always true. Of course, this is more sensitized to somebody that has rosacea. And it will lighten, it will calm, actually. You know, a lot of people don't think that when they hear the word peel, but it is calming. Mm. And it's a great option.
Tell me the name of that again, and what's the substances in the peel?
It's by Glytone, and it's called the mandelic. So mandelic acid is great for calming, for cooling, for just like a anti inflammatory type of acid.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have to mm-hmm. get some information about that. Maybe you could do a little column or piece for us on all of these topics. That would be great. There's so much.
My thing.
There's so much.
So
tell us about what women can do to maintain the results of their facial treatments and home tips that you recommend and how often people should see you.
I recommend a good home skincare regimen. That is very important. And it doesn't always have to be, not everything has to be super pricey. Not everything has to be medical grade and expensive. I would say the certain products like active serums and sunscreens, yes, invest mm-hmm. in that. But cleansers, you know, moisturizers, there's great cleansers over the counter. La Roche-Posay has a good gentle cleanser. CeraVe has a good cleanser and moisturizer. So a good mix of both. So that would be what I would recommend in between treatments. And just some tips is cleansing. You'd be surprised at how many people forget to cleanse. Mm. It's not just for when you have makeup on. You know, even if you don't have makeup on, you go about your day and you get dirt and debris and stuck in your pores and it needs to be cleansed off, and it makes a world of a difference. Another one would be hydrating masks.
Oh.
And I want to touch on this a little uh-huh. because we all love a good pore clarifying mask or anti-aging, but I think hydration is key because your skin needs to replenish that moisture mm-hmm. in order to have a healthy skin barrier. And so when your skin is hydrated and your pH is balanced, you'll start to see that other skin concerns start to fall to the wayside as well. It's amazing how the skin can heal itself when it's well fed. So that's my top recommendation is hydration.
And so you can accomplish that in part through masks. Do you do the mask after the peel, or is
yes.
it a separate event?
It's a separate. You can do it at home. Anytime you're feeling like you're dry, and your moisturizer isn't cutting it. It could be that you need a good exfoliation and then you need a good hydrating mask after, because when you exfoliate, you get all that dead skin out of the way.
Yes.
And so your mask will penetrate and absorb much better into the skin. So it's as easy as doing it at home. There's some sheet masks even you can buy that will give you good hydration.
That sounds excellent. So yeah. What is the least invasive procedure that you offer for women who want quick fixes?
Dermablating.
Oh, yes. That's what I do. That's what I do. I love that.
Yeah. We love dermablating. It's quick, it's easy, and it makes a world of a difference. It really mm-hmm. does. So we always recommend it with any service. We add on a dermablade.
Excellent. And then what options do mm-hmm. you offer for people that want more of a fix, but they certainly don't want anything invasive or surgical, et cetera?
Yeah, that's probably where the chemical peels would come mm-hmm. in. And of course, as you know, we have great doctors here that do great filler and Botox to minimally invasive, help kind of restore that volume loss. But I would say a good mix of that with chemical peeling, with retinols will give you the right result. Mm-hmm.
And that's right. You work with excellent dermatologist, my good friend,
yes.
Dr. Allison Vitamus, who's a medical advisor for dermatology for Speaking Women's Health, just recently retired. And then Dr. Melissa Pilliang, who I'm also friends with, who's excellent mm-hmm. on hair and skin. And now she is the new chairperson. And I've known Dr.
Yes.
Pompei, the head of plastic surgery, and Dr. Zins going all the way back to my residency days. So you work with all
yeah.
those great people and all their colleagues.
I do.
And that is.
I do. And it's a pleasure to see their work. They do great work.
Yeah.
Yes.
And take care of a lot of serious problems too. Not just, of course, mm-hmm. you know, we all want to look good and feel good, but they also take care of some very significant and serious problems
yeah.
and skin
of
cancer
course.
And skin disorders and things like that.
Of course.
So yeah. what my husband was complaining the other day, he was like, oh, I have these bags under my eyes. And of course, you know, he doesn't want to wear sunscreen. He doesn't want to wear hats. He doesn't care about any of this stuff because he's a guy, right? And then I was starting to say, mm-hmm. oh, I bet you could use, and he's like, I'm not having surgery. I'm like, I wasn't recommending mm-hmm. that, dear. So
yeah.
any special eye creams or anything that kind of take that baggy look out of some people's eyes? And why do some people always have it and then later they don't? It just seems, is it a hydration volume thing or lack of sleep or?
It's all of that, but it's also a genetic thing too. It depends on your genetic, if your family before you had it. So a good eye cream I would recommend is one that has a little bit of retinol in it. So we do have the IMAX by Skin Better. It has a little bit of retinol. And so it will, what retinol does for the face, it will do for under the eye. It's just, you have to be really delicate with that area.
It's so sensitive.
It's thinner skin.
Yeah, I would have never thought
so sensitive
about a retinoid because I would have thought that would have been such sensitive skin around the eye.
But they make some eye creams with it in there.
I should just make an appointment with him, with you or Lori, and just you guys can tell him what to do for skincare because he doesn't want to listen.
Yes.
He doesn't want to listen
to
me.
We would love it.
And so what's...
Oh, my husband either. My husband either.
And really, it's good not to be vain, and it's nice that they're not overly concerned about their appearance, but it still is your skin and it's a barrier and it's important and it kind of projects. People make assessments on how they think you are feeling based on how you look. So, so what's your most popular procedure?
The Diamond Glow by far.
Oh, and that's
our tried and true Diamond Glow machine.
Our nurse Lily, who she's retired. I'm going to have her on an upcoming podcast to talk about her year of retirement. I got her that once for her birthday, and we posted on Speaking of Women's Health, like the before and after pictures, and she literally glowed. But you don't have the Diamond Glow machine, as I understand, at all your locations. So if someone wanted to get a Diamond Glow, where would they go to do that?
We have it here at Avon with me, and we have it in Chagrin with Cynthia.
Okay, so not the main campus.
We have East Side and West Side, so not the main campus.
Okay, and why do you like? Why is the Diamond Glow one of your most popular favorite ones?
Because, I mean, it does what it says. It gives you the world's best glow, and I like it because it's customizable. It comes with 5 different serums, so depending on your specific skin concern, we can pick a serum that best suits you. It's not just a one size fits all, which I love. And the 3-in-1 technology of exfoliation, extraction, and infusion, you're getting the most bang for your buck all at once,
and no downtime either, right?
No downtime. Yeah. A little pink when you leave, but we'd love to see that blood flow. It's a great thing, and it will subside throughout the day.
Wow. So we, of course, have listeners from 81 countries all around the world. So for someone who can't be in the Northeast Ohio, Cleveland area and see you or Lori or Cynthia or our other team, what is like a legitimate way? Is there any like listings of licensed estheticians? So that you would give advice to people that are in other states or other countries?
Of course. Just look for a reputable medical spa under the care of a physician. All estheticians are required to stay up to date with their license and have them, you know, when you walk into the facility, you should be able to see their license up on the wall.
Okay,
so
tips.
Look for all these things. Yes, reviews, Instagram, everything is so accessible now with Instagram. So you can see all their procedures, services that they offer, some feedback from patients that they've had. I think all of that will help pick a good facility to get this
done.
And
so does your team have an Instagram page?
We have the Cleveland Clinic Beautiful You. I think it's for all of... the whole department. So we do post the services that we do. We post some fun products, tips and tricks, and all that fun stuff.
Okay. Well, if you want to share any of that with us, we will put it on our social media channels because we're on Speaking of Women's Health on X and Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest and LinkedIn. And, you know, we've got our Rumble channel and YouTube channel and our regular website. So that's, you know, we would love that information. Our listeners and our speaking people love that. How can someone specifically get an appointment with you, Amanda? Like when could someone come to Avon to get the Diamond Glow, for instance?
Yeah, they can just call there's a number for the plastics and dermatology at REJ. and they can book an appointment that way. And then once they see me, their first initial visit, then after that, they can just schedule with me on my chart. So it becomes much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I let my patients do that too. And then they don't have to go on the line. So we'll be sure in the show notes to put that number and that link. And if you would be so kind at some point to provide us with a column that we can put on our website, we'll also have your links and all these tips, because this was just such a great podcast. Thank you so much for
thank you for having me.
Joining us. You and your team are excellent. And thanks to our listeners for listening to the Speaking of Women's Health podcast. Don't miss a future episode. Subscribe or follow. It's free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you've enjoyed this episode, help support the podcast. Share it with your girlfriends. Donate to our nonprofit, speakingofwomenshealth.com, or just simply leave us a 5-star review. And we'll look forward to seeing you back in the Sunflower House.